Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated March 25th, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
I'm going super well, thanks Lord Baldrith. We've got a long weekend, a bit more time to spend in the game, and it's just wonderful.
Yes, it is. Every day we see something awesome, so that's fun stuff, huh?
Oh, absolutely we do, yes. And as I was saying, I got a bit adventurous and launched into the QA server this week. And look, without giving too much away, because it's all under wraps, but this is the testing period for the Dev Plus people. Yeah, we're uncovering a lot of bugs. And it's an interesting process, but I think next Thursday, when the release 28 is released, there's going to be a lot of very, very happy people.
That is awesome. We're looking forward to seeing more improvements on the interface and the gameplay and the way the game runs. Hopefully all of those things have been improved. That's so cool.
Oh, yes. And the one buzzword that I would take away is polish, with a capital P.
Ah, polish is always nice. Nice to see. More to brag about to other people. Good stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This game is going to be absolutely superb.
Probably, I'd say it'll probably even match up with all the highest quality games you see out there.
I think it will. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have any trouble at all.
I'm really enjoying the expansion, the expansion cities that we're seeing. It's just making the world a lot more big and alive.
Yes, it is. And hey, there's so many there that you're scratching to find time to visit them all and check it all out.
Yeah, I can't wait to actually walk around Brittany and see how much bigger of a zone it is than what we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's slated for release 29, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that's when they said it's going to be done, or hopefully. I think they're probably hoping for that. I'm not sure if they're guaranteeing it.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, that will be very nice. We'll spend a week or two in there getting lost.
That's for sure. I was playing a game the other day, and it kind of had zones too, but the way they zoned, you just walk, and then you get a little bit of a pause, and boom, you continue on. I wonder if they could make it so any of our areas do that.
Okay, that'd be nice, yes. Yeah, I don't know how any of this works. The concept I had in my head is that you have to unload a whole lot of stuff from memory and load a whole lot of new stuff, and that's probably what takes the time. But, look, if they can refine stuff, if they can polish it, if they can, you know, refine the code and trim away all sorts of stuff, they might get that happening so much faster that you'd barely notice it, and that'd be great.
Oh yeah, if they could even put it in some of the you know, when you go into a zone, and they could make it all the much bigger by doing it that way, instead of, you know, always giving you just a giant screen of, oh, I gotta wait. You know, that turns people off sometimes, and it would just be nice if they could, I don't know, make it a little more of a continuous look in some zones.
Sure, yes. But all I can say is there is significant and continuing improvement, and that is pretty awesome to see.
That's for sure. And you're probably seeing it all the more with a solid-state drive, right?
Oh, yeah, that does make a difference. It really, really does.
Yeah, that's definitely next on my agenda. I can't wait to see how much a bigger difference that makes.
Oh, yeah. Load times are a lot shorter, and, yeah, things just happen so much faster with a nice solid-state drive.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got another news release that came out very early again this week. Maybe they were having a bit of an early mark because it was Easter, and good on them.
Yeah, happy Easter for them.
Yeah, that's right. And while we're here, happy Easter to everybody, to all the avatars, to all the citizens and wanderers and denizens of New Britannia. Whatever you're doing, whatever you are up to this weekend, make it a good one.
That's right, have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. and a lot of hot cross buns and a lot of feasting and a lot of family time. Sounds really good.
Always good. Always good.
Okay, so we have update number 169. We have the making of Valhold, a mountain player-owned town template, and a recap band cross-promotion. Wow, that's the headlines. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so first item on the news, the making of Valhold. And this is by Richard Matey. Hey guys, started work on a new scene, Valhold. Nice. He says he's not going to get too much into the background. He'll let us find out when we play. He doesn't want to spoil anything. What a rat. So there's a couple of main ideas as a background. It's a once great kingdom that was ransacked by kobolds. And since then, it hasn't been upkept. So we've got overgrowth. It's a castle that's getting devoured by nature. So, yeah, trees, vines, whatever, growing all over everything. So, and that gives, in turn, a green colour palette. So all elements should be very cohesive and even tied together with vines and plants. And vaguely Norse in architecture. That sounds fascinating.
That's neat, yeah.
Very neat. So we can expect something that's sort of semi-ruined, jumbled, broken down, plants, vines, trees, shrubbery growing everywhere, and in a way a bit of a mess.
And maybe a little bit beautiful too, if you see a lot of green.
Oh yeah. And even though it is derelict and broken down, some of these screenshots look amazing, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I love to see all the new structures they create for these things. They're just so unique. It's cool.
They are. And even the detail of the broken down walls and the buildings that are left, a lot of work went into them. That's just fascinating.
Yeah, I love the green they've got on some of the roofs of the buildings. It's a very nice touch.
Yes. That's brilliant. So, yeah, the main entrance showing there. An overgrown village. We've got a city street there. Nice.
I wonder if there's going to be anybody here. You think it'll be just empty, or will there be some people hiding in these buildings?
Yeah, good question. Look, there might be some of a particular kind of people lurking in the ruins. Yeah. Would have been nice if he'd said a bit more about the history, but as he says, we'll have to find that out.
Yeah, we'll have to go there armed and ready for anything, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. But that is great. And doesn't that look absolutely authentic? The street there with the jumble of greenery growing all over it looks as if it hasn't been trimmed in years. Which it probably hasn't. And the countryside's gradually taking over again.
Yeah, I love the looks of the walls. That's a unique looking wall too.
It surely is, yes. And a solitary guard or observation tower that probably served to protect the town at one time and doesn't anymore.
Yeah, but notice how the walls looks like they're pretty sturdy. They're not broken down up here in the front.
That's right, yes. So it is a wonder what actually happened to this city.
And why nobody moved in and rebuilt it and, you know, used it for themselves.
That's right. And that'll all be part of the lore and the story that we'll have to find out. Oh, boy. You know, it's getting more and more deep and more complex the further we go in.
Well, it's just all the more fun we can have exploring and talking to people and figuring out what we can do to help.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, nice. And then we move on to some more details about artifice. Wow, and this looks like a pretty spiffy place, doesn't it?
Oh, it's an awesome place. It's like paradise. You know, every time you look at it, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And it looks a bit like a place we'll never want to leave.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's right. So Scotty Jones here says, finally, you've pulled yourself away from the pleasures of youthful vigor and returned to the entry hall to explore more. On approach to the next vestibule, you're greeted with enticing aromas and plates of various delicacies. Casks of ale and wine are piled here, with goblets and steins waiting to be filled. The glowing doorway to the next hall of artifice beckons. Yeah, that's one of the seven deadly sins, isn't it? Gluttony.
Gluttony, that's... I'm wondering, maybe eventually if your character gets, you know, too carried away, they gain a bunch of weight and lose a bunch of skill, I don't know.
I don't... Yeah, right. Interesting.
You never wow. know.
You turn beyond the golden portal, you're transported to the Hall of the Feast of Plenty. On either side, tall columns of rough-hewn marble support the vaulted ceiling in this marvelous great hall that even Dionysius would envy. In the chamber's center, an elaborate table stretches nearly the length of the room, piled high with masterfully prepared viands of every kind, each one more delicious looking than the next. Okay. In the swirling steam rising from platters of tender roast meats, lanterns gently sway, bathing the heaping delicacies in warm, welcoming light. Does not that look enticing?
Yeah, it's pretty strange that all this food is like freshly prepared and it's like they just set it on the table. What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. A bit suspicious here. Okay. The incredible bounty at its center seems overwhelming. Even the edges are lined with tables heaping with food. Each set of offerings showcased in the rays of mode-spectred light that filter in from stained glass windows all sides. So much exquisite fare. But worry not. The food will never go to waste, since you won't be the only one enjoying this. Elegant guests wander and sit throughout the hall, enjoying delicacies of their own, encouraging you to do the same. I wonder if they're NPCs or fellow travellers.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Boy, a fire crackles merrily in the great hearth towards the back of the room, before which, low, sits a single round table, and upon it, apparently, is the same mysterious box seen in the chamber before. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
We have a mysterious box on a table, and you have to work out how to open the box and what is inside it.
Yeah, that'll be fun to try to puzzle that through.
It will. Boy. So what is in these boxes? Something to determine our destiny, I'll bet.
Yes.
Okay. As you turn back to the entrance, the glow of the golden door reminds you there's at least one more hall to explore before you must consider the comparatively small nuisance of the firmly locked bronze double doors back in the entrance hall, leading to who knows where. Okay. These thoughts are mere tickling annoyances, though, really. With so many like-minded comrades around you enjoying the finer things in life, why bother worrying about such trivial affairs? The pleasures of the palate await. Yeah, okay. Hopefully you found this enticing. Well, yes, we sort of have. Thank you, Scotty.
Yeah, we're over here just scratching our heads. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, that's right. Oh boy, this is so intriguing, it's unbelievable. And again, so much work is going into this.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, being tempted by food. It's like, wow, this is an unusual thing.
Yeah, it is. So, in the first chamber, I think we were tempted by enticing company. Now we're tempted by food. Okay, what's next?
I have a feeling some of our characters, what do they call those, traits are going to come out here.
Oh, yeah, the virtue traits or other
virtues,
ones?
That's it, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, our virtue might be tested here.
The virtue of what? The virtue of temptation, maybe?
Yeah, who knows? Okay.
Is that a virtue?
Well, no. The main virtues are truth, love, and courage. Okay.
Well, we're not getting those ones with this, are we? We're getting more like more negative stuff here.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, will you be true to your virtues or will you betray them?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. How are you going to handle these things?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Awesome. I hope we see this very soon. This is going to be great.
Yeah, can't wait.
Okay. Now, next we have the Mountain Player and Town Template 01. Very nice. Okay, so Hutchison has been hard at work in this latest template. It's both an entirely new layout and a new biome. It represents a high mountain pass with a lake. Fantastic.
It's nice.
It's very nice, and some of these shots look rather beautiful. So, if you've always wanted to live in a mountain pass or a mountainous area, here's your opportunity.
Looks like some pretty good fishing up there. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Now, isn't it a shame that the lake in Wizard's Rest is frozen over? We're still shooting for that hole in the ice fishing, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm still disappointed in my knives and none of my tools have managed to break through so I can fish there.
Have you been out there on the lake?
Hey, I do my best, you know.
I wondered who'd made all those scratch marks.
Yeah, I've left quite a mess, haven't I?
You bad man. Now, you need a pick. That's what you need.
Ah, yeah, I have to try the pick there. I know Time Lord wanted to fish there, so I was just trying to give him a little hole to work with.
Yeah, very good. Yes. And look, if we could manage to mix up a bit of explosive, that might help.
Ah, yeah, let's melt it. That's a good idea. We'll try that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, take a few braziers out on the ice. See if that works.
Ah, yeah. I'll put a whole bunch of them around in a little circle. That'd be good.
Yeah, great. Yes. And then they might sink, never to be seen again.
Yeah, and then it'll freeze back over, huh?
Oh, great. Okay, here's a few shots of this mountain biome of the work in progress, which can be visited as a nested town and hometown. Now, that's a brilliant idea. If you want to see all these biomes, just go to hometown. And apparently, there'll be exits from hometown and you can go and see all the biomes that they have on offer.
Oh, that's very cool. So you can actually see it before you make the plunge.
You can. Yes, try before you buy. That's a brilliant idea.
Oh, it is, especially with the locking of the templates. You know, every time you unlock one, you got to pay. So you want to make sure you choose the one you want.
That's right, yes. Yeah, be very sure before you lock your template, all player-owned town owners. Because, yeah, once you lock, it's sort of hard to unlock.
Yep, they'll let you unlock, but you've got to get a customer service coin. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, a service ticket, I think. Which you pay for.
But if they got a new biome that's really awesome, then, hey, it's a worthwhile investment.
That's for sure. So, yeah, head off to hometown, and you will no doubt not have too much trouble finding all the exits and the journeys to the various biomes. Have a look at them, check them out, and if you like this particular one, if any players have selected this template and have locked their submission form, you'll automatically get it in Release 29. That's lovely.
Awesome.
Brilliant. And the next is an exciting piece of news. We have a broadcast automated phonograph.
Very cool.
Yeah, doesn't that look rather cool?
It does. Looks like it's a jukebox.
Yeah, it does. And if you own a dynamic player-owned town, you can select the songs that play in your town using wax cylinders and one of these. The songs will be played across the entire scene for all players to hear. Now, they had originally planned, and this is what's happened so much along the way, they had originally planned for their world builders to add the music to the towns by hand, like they do any other scene. But probably as it happened, you know, we'll do this by hand, we'll be fine. Oh dear, we've got 250 or something player-owned towns, and they all want their own music. Why not let them do it? That sounds like a much easier idea.
My question is, are they going to give us all of the songs on Cylinder, or are they just going to be a menu option in a jukebox, or how's that work?
Yeah, good question. Okay. But I think it's a win-win situation. Obviously a win for them, because all they've had to do is build one piece of kit, and then it's done. So it's like the dynamic player-owned towns. They haven't had to build all the towns. Yeah, give it to the town owner. You do it in any way you like. And give this little automated phonograph to the town owner. Here, take that, put it in your town, load it up with half a dozen songs. There you go.
Yeah, it almost looks like something you'd put a coin in and you'd choose a song.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And they realized that they'd already converted most of the music to wax cylinders. Right, good. So from there, it was only a few steps, or albeit complicated steps, to enable players to use those wax cylinders to build playlists for their towns. So all a player-owned town owner has to do is grab one of these, select half a dozen wax cylinders, load them in, bang, you've got your music for the town.
Yeah, I wonder if you can set them random and have it kind of vary it a little bit.
That'd be brilliant if you could put them on a random shuffle playlist. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, they could hear all the music and, you know, stuff you haven't heard as much. That'd be really nice.
It so would. And I hope they can include the custom music that people are making for their towns. I hope they will be on the wax cylinders as well.
Oh, me too. I'm still hoping to see that, you know, get approved so we can kind of ask about that. Still waiting.
For sure. Yep. And it'll probably go a lot faster if all they have to do is say, yeah, give it a nod. Yeah, great. Okay, it's on wax cylinder. There you go. Go for it.
Piece of cake, yeah. Because the cylinders, they all look the same. It's not a big chore for them to add it.
That's right, yeah. And that means, effectively, they're doing one job instead of 250. And, hey, win-win.
And I would also wonder if we can use the custom songs from other towns, or are they only for that town, or how's that work?
Yeah, very good question. There's probably no reason why you couldn't. If it's an approved song, yeah, why shouldn't you want it? Although, you know, somebody from another town might get their nose put out of joint a little bit and say, well, yeah, that's actually our town's tune. Thorny question.
Yeah, they create these wonderful songs, and it's like, no, but you want to hear that song, you got to come to our town. You know, it's that kind of a selling point, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So, yes. Okay, we'll find out the answer to that in due course, I guess.
I kind of feel that way about ours. Our song's gorgeous. I want it to be special, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And I wouldn't be surprised if other people felt the same. So maybe the unique and custom tunes will be specific to those towns. And that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little touch there, you know?
It would, exactly. Yeah. All right. And next we have a wrap-up of a GDC, the Game Developers Conference, and SXSW. Team members Finn Staber, Starlong, and Richard Garriott, they all had events. Very nice. They've been busy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star gave a talk at both events entitled Co-Development, Open and Agile Game Development, where he talked about the three principles guiding development of Shroud of the Avatar: transparency, cadence, and feedback. Well, we've got those in spades, haven't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Yep. They absolutely tell us everything that they're doing. They go at a measured pace. They release it every month. And the feedback is unbelievable. It's brilliant.
Oh yeah, this game gives you more feedback than any other game I've looked at, so it's just amazing.
Yes, it's fantastic. And Richard Garriott also gave a talk about personal rapid transport, something he hopes will disrupt traditional transportation, and it's already in use in places like London's Heathrow Airport. Very nice.
Oh, that's cool. Is he speaking outside of the game stuff there?
Yeah, he is.
Cool. Wow.
He also spoke at a VR event at the Tech Ranch, spoke about various experiences that virtual reality could enhance, like space travel and games. And he finished up with an XPRIZE event, where he challenged local Austin tech leaders to weigh in on the grand X challenges that could be addressed through larger prize models. Okay, I'm not sure what that's all about, but it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And Finn Staber had a big week. That was brilliant. So the buzz was very positive at both events about Shroud of the Avatar. He had a chance to demo the game for numerous developers at Unity, Valve, and more. Oh, that's awesome. More exposure, more publicity, and more people getting excited about the game.
Yes, and one thing I wanted to make note of, I was doing a YouTube over, you know, popular games of 2015 and 16, and Shroud of the Avatar was on that big list of unbelievable games. We were in there with, you know, Skyrim and all that kind of stuff. The problem is, our demo is outdated. I mean, all of the footage was from 2014. So, hopefully,
oh, yes,
update
the demo.
That.
Yes, I hope they do as well. Yeah, because, boy, is it looking so much better now.
Oh, man, it's awesome. Now, nobody would even know how great the game looks now if they went by that.
That's right, yes. Okay, and Finn had a week full of 18-hour days. Oh, how lovely. Great. And he had the honour to be the first professional developer to take the Unity Developer Certification Exam, and he aced it. Ain't that
awesome.
Brilliant? Awesome, mate. Yes. And he gave the closing talk at SXSW Interactive on game design and interactive prototyping. It was the most attended talk at the convention. And that is amazing itself.
That is. That's a very big deal. Like, holding an audience really well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if a whole auditorium full of people flock up to hear you talk, you know you're onto something.
And you're saying the right things and you've got the right products, that's for sure.
That's brilliant. He helped IGDA Austin welcome multiple international teams into the game dev community last week, set up 4 room-scale VR areas. Okay. With HTC Vives for them to demo their experiences while in Austin. He then travelled to GDC early Monday and coincidentally helped set up 2 more Vives in the big Unity booth before the expo. Valve invited him to demo his VR music creation prototype, The Wave, at the Steam VR booth on the GDC floor. This is just, you know, not real busy. It's just, you know, routine day.
Kind of putting together some groundbreaking stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And his music group performed at huge after parties every day of the week. Jumped on the red eye Wednesday night after the big Unity party and was back at the studio Thursday morning running strong. Good God.
Wow, that's dedication.
It is. That's amazing. He gave an additional talk Friday afternoon on multiplayer game design and volunteered to help 4 student technology teams from Japan haul their gear across Austin after the expo in his pickup. Now that's Austin hospitality done right.
Yep, that's right.
Fantastic. Good on him. That's congrats and big kudos.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And next we have a cross-promotion. Recap's second album, Pronoia, which we did mention a couple of weeks ago. As they say, 2 years ago, the Space Bard, now known as Recap, successfully kickstarted their album Neon Milk. Now, we're of course huge fans of theirs because of their amazing Return of Lord British, which there's a little video there.
Awesome song.
It is. And, okay, they did a cross-promotion. It's finally coming to fruition. All backers of Shroud received the Gypsy Dance emote in release 27. Very nice.
Yes.
In release 28, if you backed both Neon Milk and Shroud, you receive a wax cylinder in custom Neon Milk green with a medieval instrument version of Lord British Returns. Isn't that nice?
I'm jealous. Oh, it's good
stuff. Yeah, so am I. Yeah,
but it was before my time. I would have been there.
I know. And the same song is an ABC file in sheet music format, playable with in-game musical instruments. Okay, we're drooling here.
Yes, we are.
Yes. And if you backed Neon Milk at 25 and Shroud of the Avatar at 25 or better, you get sheet music instrumentals of select songs from Neon Milk. Wow. Very, very nice.
Awesome. So well, I'll be just visiting to hear that stuff there.
Oh, me too. Anybody who had the foresight to back them back in the day are going to be richly rewarded.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's not all doom and gloom, because they're wrapping up the Kickstarter of their second album, right? They met their 5K funding goal in 2 days. They've hit their first stretch goal. Lovely. Which is custom album artwork created by Tortoise and Hare, Creations Indie Martin. This Saturday, they're having a telethon. Try and hit another stretch goal. Drink recipe and pint glasses from Relics by Rilled for $25 pledges and more. Okay. And they're doing another... Portal Air Ember doing another cross-promotion. Backers of both Pronoia and Shroud will receive one wax cylinder of an instrumental version of a secret song from Recap, as well as three sheet music instrumentals of select songs from this album, Pronoia. Okay, you have been told how good the last promotion was and what the rewards are. Here's the opportunity to do it again.
I didn't miss this one. I've already backed that album, and I backed it because I love their music and I love the cross promotion. So yeah, I'm there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Me too. That's gorgeous.
They are awesome. Check out the Kickstarter campaign. I just love these guys.
Yeah. Oh, they are. They are brilliant. So honestly, everybody, get into it and back them, because hey, they are awesome, and the rewards are there. So that is wonderful.
And I love the Jimi Hendrix cover too. If you've listened to some of their songs, are great.
Oh, brilliant. And or tune into the telethon, where our very own Lord British is rumoured to be making a guest appearance.
Ah, cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay, magic.
That's tomorrow. Right. Tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. Wow. Nice. All right. And a special event that's coming up. Sandalox presents Name That Tune. This is going to be an awesome event. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's Sandalox presents Name That Tunes. Think you know enough about music? Want to test your music knowledge and possibly be a Name That Tune champion with a $20 store add-on grand prize? Join Sandalox for a good time in Wizard's Rest, located behind Owl's Head, March the 26th at 2 p.m. Central. Lovely.
Yay! It's in our town. Cool.
It is. It is. It is. And that's a wonderful stage. It's just a brilliant concept for a game show. And they're going to play a number of tunes, and you have to guess what it is.
I helped with a little bit of that stage. I made some of the podiums. Ha ha.
Oh, well done. Well done, sir. Yes, I can see your handiwork there.
See my initials on there?
Yes. Yeah, you got to stop scratching your name into the
yeah,
back.
No, I'm a terrible guy.
Oh, that's brilliant. Fantastic. Okay, all right. Well, that's the main news of the week, and we move on to the usual stuff. Just a reminder, time's running out. As they're getting closer to final wipe, lot selection milestones, they do need to know how many lots that they have to provide in-game. So pledges are expiring as of May the 2nd. That's getting scarily close, people. As of May the 2nd, you will no longer be able to buy an Immortal Adventurer, Virtual Collector, collector, citizen, knight, lord, or baron pledge. They will be non-existent. So hurry in and get them while they're still on sale. And again, a further reminder, because the game launch is getting closer, they want to ship everybody's personal physical goodies out to them. All these nice cloth maps that we've been hanging out for, and Richard's hand-signed everything. Here he's getting over his RSI quite well.
Have we heard how far he's gotten on any of those?
No, haven't heard. Poor guy. Okay, if you go to your account profile page, there will be a profile there, edit profile. Click on edit profile beneath the avatar image and bunch of little fields there. Please put your physical real world address in there so they can send you all your stuff. And even if they're not sending you stuff, the accountants want you to do it anyway. So there you are. If you would do that for them, they'd be really happy. Thank you. Okay, and in-game community events. The community is so rich and diverse. They have stuff happening all the time, and it's just brilliant. But running through the stuff that's happening on a continual basis, we have the Role Players of the Avatar monthly $170 writing contest, and there is more stuff rolling in there all the time, and it is a joy to see. They get some really, really good material in there. They're inspiring people to be creative, and that's wonderful.
Yep, it is.
The Unreliable Travel Guide, a wonderful collection of short stories that really make me laugh, and they are fantastic. Avatar's Radio, daily programming, always good. And they have the greatest DJs, and they look after all of our needs. Oh, and by the way, I should mention, if you get one of those automated wax cylinder phonographs for your town, it is pure, unfiltered sound. It doesn't sound scratchy like it's coming through a phonograph.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I was trying to turn that off. I thought we used to be able to turn that off, but yeah, that's scratchy. I want to turn that off. So you can filter it out, huh?
Oh, yeah. If you get one of these automated phonographs, it doesn't have the scratchiness on it. It is pure, pristine, perfect audio that will play over your town, and it will be beautiful music.
I wonder if we can put our Shooter Jennings disc in there, play all those.
Hey, why not? That'd be great.
Yeah,
you could maybe alter the playlist every week.
Oh, might as well. That way the town's never boring, huh?
That's right, exactly. Okay, the NBNN Lunch with Jack and Laz, weekdays at 12 o'clock. Awesome. They do a great job. The EVL Hat Quest on Mondays at 7 o'clock. They have their own Hat Quest because Portal Arium didn't put one in, but they've devised a cool quest all of their own, and you can earn a bucket helm. That's lovely.
Very good on them, yeah.
Yeah, the Tavern Respite role-playing event, Mondays at 8 p.m. Very nice. Great. The Order of Vengeance Guild meetings, Monday at 9 p.m. There's a challenge dungeon run Monday, Wednesday and Friday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. If you feel strong enough to face the evils in the challenge dungeon. Pax Lair Town Manager Hour, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. An EVL Dungeon Crawls, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Very nice. Meet up at Owl's Head at the centre of town near the trainer. Wednesday nights, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Lovely, that's an impromptu event mainly, but who knows what they'll do. EVL Virtue League PvP Tournament, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And they have two divisions, so if you don't know much about PvP, they'll put you in the kindergarten division. But if you are godlike and you feel like taking on Themolok, well, good luck to you.
Real good luck to you.
Yes. Striker Sparhawks Happy Hour, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. at one of the local Navia taverns. Very nice. Sharing news, critique of the arts, music, dancing, and otherwise unplanned mayhem. Lovely. Phoenix Republic PvE nights. They go for a weekly foray into control points and dungeons and other dangerous places. Hey, I have to report. The other day, I went down to the ruins of Ravensmoor, and I kicked the lich's butt.
Oh, hey, that's really good. You're getting tough now, huh?
Oh, I know. My dear did take me a few attempts. There's a little anchor around the corner, and you just rush back there and rez and come back and say, I'm going to get you this time.
Now, he takes a big bite out of your hit points sometimes. He's bad.
He does, he does. You know, but I am getting the idea of being an archer. You just keep running. You do not stand still. You keep running and running and running. And as long as you hold focus on the mob that you're trying to hit, you're okay. You just keep running and firing away at him, and your little toon will turn and fire an arrow at him, and it works really well. It's taken me a while to really get the hang of being an archer, but I think I'm falling in love with it now.
Oh, that's really good, because archers do some serious damage. You just got to figure out how to stay out of the line of fire.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. And because, like mages, I guess, your defenses aren't that strong, you have to stay away from people. I was always used to wielding a sword, and you go up to somebody and hit them in the face, which is fine, except that if they're 10 times as strong as you, they're going to hit you in the face, and you're not going to survive.
No, you're going to find yourself falling down quite often. It ain't fun.
No, it ain't. No. So I thought, I'm going to try being somebody else and staying at a distance where these nasty people can't get me so much. And I'll just, you know, hurl things at them from a distance. My range is getting better, so I can hit them from a greater distance. And, yeah, it's actually starting to work. I think I like it.
So, are you wearing chain or leather? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing leather. I'm wearing supple leather that I made myself.
Very nice. And so that makes it so you can cast a couple of spells, too?
Supple leather. Now, what does that do? Yes, it gives me a slight defense buff and slight increased critical chance, I think, with the weapon.
Okay, so, yeah, I know a lot of people mix and match their archery and their mage skills, and I know there's the archers that like to use a sword when up close comes at them. So I'm not sure. It just depends on what you're doing.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And I've got ruby gems on my breast armor and my bow, so my fire attunement is fairly high. So that's a good thing.
I had heard that the ignite weapon doesn't work on a bow. Is that still true?
That is still true, yes, yes.
So it should turn your arrows to fire, shouldn't it?
That's what I would have thought, but not so much. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I hope they think about that. That would be a very nice feature.
Yeah, yeah. I found that a tiny bit annoying, because to get to the one beyond that in the skill tree, I forget which one it is, it might be Ring of Fire, you had to go through Ignite Weapon, and you had to have 10 points in that. So I had to get out a sword and basically cast Ignite Weapon on the sword until I had 10 points, and then I could forget about it.
Yeah, that's just busy work, isn't it? I hope they can, you know, find a way to make it so your character's not wasting time. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, I got past it, and I got to the next level, and I was happy.
That was making me think, why don't they have ice weapon, you know, so you can ignite ice arrows and slow things down. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool. Great.
Hey, there are a lot of fun things I could add.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, we have the Thursday Night Throwdown. It's a PvP event at 10 p.m. Very nice. That is in the Obsidian Caverns. Lovely. Navian Academy Roleplay Courses, Fridays at 4 p.m. Shardfall Madness, Fridays at 6 p.m. We have Vengeance Madness, Fridays at 7 p.m. Astronomy Event, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. And that's all the regular stuff that's happening all the time, which is an awesome community.
Plenty to do. No excuses to be bored.
That's right. And for the weekends, if you only get a chance to be out and about in New Britannia on the weekend, here it is. 6 a.m. Saturday, Wake Up New Britannia with Waftem and Celine. Awesome DJs. They do a great show.
Yeah.
9 a.m., the Paxlair Working Hours. 11 a.m., Church of the Dark Star Saturday Service. Now, I can report, I just saw a post in the forum by Amber Rain herself, and this is really good news. As a lot of people know, and I think I can say now because it's in the forum, Amber has been off for a while. She's been having some surgery, and she's not been wonderfully well. But fortunately, everybody will be delighted that the surgery was successful. She's recuperating, and the Church of the Dark Star services will be back on again from next weekend. So welcome back to our beloved High Priestess of Chaos, and really look forward to seeing and hearing you again.
Yeah, welcome back, Amber. I'm glad to hear everything went well with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, 2 o'clock on Saturday, as we've mentioned, Sandalops presents Name That Tune. Excellent. Get along to that.
Have fun.
Absolutely. 3 o'clock, Baron Lee Construction, Harvest and Craft. 6 o'clock, Port Phoenix Social Nights. 9 o'clock, Podcasts and Poetry from thecaverns.net. Oh, there you go. So they're advertising that. That's very nice.
Oh, yeah. Is that our show?
That's our show. Yes. Yes. And that's what they put on every week, but suddenly it's made the news release. So that's lovely. Yes. Yeah. 9 o'clock every Saturday night, Avatars Radio puts on podcasts, poetry, and the newscast.
Well, isn't that cool to see that? I just always said it's on Saturday nights. I just never knew what time it was to tell anybody. So that's good they got it advertised for us. That's great.
That's lovely. So that's brilliant. So if you want to put up with our deadly voices and a bit of music and a bit of fun and a few stories, that's when it's on.
Our rantings and ramblings. We have so much fun around here.
Ah, we do. Exactly. Of course we do. And our devoted audience of 6.5 love us to bits.
That's right. They're dedicated, and we appreciate that one a lot.
We do. Absolutely, we do. Yeah. Okay, Sunday, we got a Paxlair meeting at 8:30, Gust Ball training at 2:30, followed by a Gust Ball match at 3 o'clock. We have a Gridiron Feast and registration at 5 o'clock, followed by 5:30 Gladiators Gridiron. Yes, go there to be dismembered.
Yeah.
5:30, there's an EVL team versus team tournament. Teams of 3. Ah, lovely. Very nice. Yeah, that's going to be fun too. A lot of blood and death and gore happening here.
Well, that seems to be the favorite pastime on the weekends.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. 7 o'clock, there's a Paxlair meeting. And 8 o'clock, fishing with Winfield. Very nice. And be sure and check out the Release 27 events thread in the forums for additional events that may not be included here. Very nice. So, upcoming events, we have Release 28 next week.
Yay.
On the 31st of March. Oh, it's going to be awesome, people.
Yes, it is.
Trust me, you're going to have trouble getting your jaw up off the floor. Okay, and there's a final Lord of the Manor Britannia visit and dinner on the 15th of April. There's PAX East in April, Release 29 at the end of April. There's a final Duke Roundtable and Portalarium office tour in May, as is Release 30. And in June, there's a Hearth of Britannia Legends of the Hearth 3. Release 31 is the end of June. Release 32, 28th of July. And from that date, we have permanence.
That's when the game really begins for us.
Ah, absolutely. And look, as I expressed in the forum this week, there's been a bit of back and forthing and toing froing, and you know, should we have the experience multiplier after launch? I say, personally, I say absolutely not. We should not.
Yeah, I can't believe it's even a question. I mean, aren't we here to play this game for a long time, not just rush to max level? Come on.
Yeah, we are. And my argument was and is that the devs needed data. They needed to see how the progression system worked. So therefore, they needed people to get up to high levels in a few months before it all goes away. Well, the way you do that is boost them along very fast. Okay, you got a 4x multiplier, people. Get up there quick. Great, that works. And yes, it is a bit of a sop and a bit of a consolation prize for having to do it all again for the 6th time. Thank you very much. But look, once the real game comes along, just speaking for me personally, I will be delighted to get out and explore the land. And it may take me more than 4x as long to get to where I am now, because there's no pressure anymore. Nobody's going to take it away. And I'll probably be happy to visit the bank, get all my goodies out of the bank, decorate my house up, make all that looking pretty and nice, and spend some time doing that. Because I can grind and get my character up anytime I want to. I've got 5 years, 10 years to do that.
Yeah, I'm probably going to spend my first 3 months in King's Road just, you know, getting wood for my furniture and all the stuff I need to build, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I suspect I'll be doing something like that as well. I'll make my houses look pretty. I'm thoroughly ashamed of it at the moment because I've done next to nothing. But I'm just trying to explore the combat thing and work out what will be right for me on launch. And I think I'm honing in on it. So that's good. But after launch, doesn't matter. I can take as long as I like.
Well, and hopefully we'll have multiple characters and you can go out and just kind of experiment with each person too.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. So come end of July, we'll be meandering along as fast or as slow as we want to. And if people want to play 18 hours a day, they're still going to accelerate pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. But the point of this game is there really is no end game. The whole game is just continuous. You just keep on going. There's really no finish to it.
Yeah, well, that's right. And if my understanding is correct, there'll be an overarching theme and a plot and a quest and a mission. And they will devise some mechanism for us to solve this quest and to set the world to rights again. Hard to do in a multiplayer, but they'll figure it out. But once you've done that, you've still got the sandbox, and you've still got the community, and you've still got exploration, and you've still got what Ultima Online has, a virtual world to live in and a community to interact with. And that could potentially go on for 15 or 20 years.
Well, that's right. You can finish your first goals, getting your level up real high, and then you can continue on with your next goals, getting some serious crafting abilities, and you can just keep on going and going. It's awesome.
That's exactly right. So I don't see much of a problem with so-called end game, and I can see that this game is going to be around for a very, very long time.
That's right. We expect to see at least 10 years of this game because there's going to be that many years worth of just releases.
Yeah, that's right. So, finally, recommended projects to back. They're talking about Star Traders. It's a competitive star cargo delivery sci-fi board game being made by David Ladyman, who worked with us for many years at Origin Systems. Players captain their starships, jumping from planet to planet, racing to deliver their cargoes before the other traders. The game ratchets up the interaction and the fun as you gain great wealth and the Emperor's respect, giving you the opportunity to petition to be made Star-Sar, oh, very nice, ruler of all trade in the galaxy. But stumbling blocks are around every corner as your fellow traders pursue the same goal. It's actually five games in one. It's got a version for everyone, from easy versions for ages 7 plus and 10 plus to more competitive gameplay. Oh, very nice. The family version in the middle is just right for most players. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Probably learn a lot too, that'd be fun.
You probably would. Very nice. And it's a parody of your favourite science fiction books, TVs, shows and movies. So don't be surprised at who you might meet along the way. You've got one day left. So if you want to back them, jump in today and do it.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty fun game. I was looking at it earlier, and it looks like they got some good stuff going there.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, there we are. That is the news of the week. So we've got a bit less than a week left in Release 27 to enjoy. Rush out and enjoy it and soak it all up before the glory of Release 28 springs upon us.
Yeah, they're just moving like wildfire. I can't believe how fast we're jumping through releases.
Ah, it's amazing. And the truckloads of new material and the truckloads of polish that they're putting on each new release is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's always fun that we've got so much new stuff to play with every release. It's not just a couple of things. It's like a whole, so many things you can't even get to them all. It's great.
Oh, that is for sure. But still, until next week, all we can do is get back into the game. And as we said, have a great holiday weekend, everybody. Hope you really enjoy. Stay safe. And yeah, I hope to talk to you again next week.
Yeah, everybody have a good Easter holiday and a good weekend. And we can get back in the game.
Brilliant.
So, the awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for his technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. And welcome back, Amber Rain. It'll be good to see you again. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.